Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Fat Man Little Trail, the podcast where everyone is invited on the trail. I am your trail guide for the day, Greg the Fat Man, founder of FatManLittleTrail.com, and also 13Hikes.com, which is kind of my new project. If you're interested in all things hiking with trail reviews and product reviews and some fun little stories, which I'm going to tell one of those today, check out FatManLittleTrail.com. And if you need a little bit of motivation to get going, check out 13Hikes.com. It's a new hiking challenge that I've created in an attempt to help motivate people who, you know, a hike a week might be a little bit much for them. So the 13 Hike Challenge, the goal there is just to get people started and hopefully fall in love with hiking the way that I have. So I will be by myself today. I had a great guest last week with the director of the Colorado Lottery. So it was great, but we're going to go fly solo here today, and I'm kind of excited about it. I'm going to read to you one of my more popular blogs that I've written that did well on the website. A lot of the website is me just kind of telling my stories and my thoughts about hiking in general, and I came up with this one. I think I did like a 14-mile hike by myself. And realized how much I enjoyed the solo hiking aspect of getting out into nature by myself. It's not for everybody, so if you're not comfortable with it, I don't suggest it. There's definitely some safety precautions that you need to take into account before you start solo hiking. But if it's something that you're prepared for and you're comfortable with, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing for everybody. I'm going to read it off a piece of paper, so it might take me a minute here. If you want to help me get a teleprompter, you can always click on that link in my bio and make a donation. But the blog that I'm going to read to you guys today is called Hiking Alone, Not Lonely Hiking. And here it goes. Hiking Alone. People often ask me why I'm hiking alone. By people, I, of course, am referring to the blisters on my feet, but nevertheless, the question is valid. COVID has taught us many of us about separation anxiety. It has also explained why dogs are so excited when they can finally go outside after sitting in the house. Many people rush to the trails for exercise and to be able to spend time with people that they know during the restrictions. While it is nice to hike with people, don't be afraid to take those moments alone in the woods. I live pretty close to downtown Denver. While I live alone, I'm always reminded how close people are. For instance, the upstairs neighbor, they seem to move furniture at least 12 hours each day, make a lot of racket, but city life living is exciting. It is noisy and crowded, and I really do enjoy it. But maybe that's why I enjoy the trail as much as I do, because it's the complete opposite. Alone versus lonely. I'm sure most of us have been alone at some point. Most people have probably even felt lonely from time to time. What I have found is these two things are not dependent on one another. A busy coffee shop could be the loneliest place on earth if you don't have a MacBook and earbuds. In the woods, you could literally be the only person for 5 miles. So why not the loneliness? For me, it is about the adventure. Monotony causes that lonely feeling. There is no monotony on a hike. Each step is different, and I never really know what I will see next. I also think that deep down, people in a city want a certain level of loneliness. I can't walk 10 feet down the street without Pandora in my ears, ignoring all the sounds and all the people, and retreating to my own version of a 90s music video while I walk. Outdoors, I can walk 15 miles without checking my phone other than the map. I don't need electronic stimulation because I'm surrounded by the real thing. The bird chirps, the leaf rustles, the freaking squirrels. A little bit of a sidebar here. Squirrels are the equivalent to those people on the corner trying to get you to sign up for their cause. They park themselves in a position in which they can't be avoided, and then they squeal as long and as loud as they can until you finally move out of range and they get ready for their next victim. Where was I? Ah, yes. The noises surround you as well as the visuals. One thing that I think makes a huge difference in the wild is that the lines aren't straight. In the city, we walk by buildings, corners, windows, and doors. Every surface at the same time inviting and trying to keep you out. The lines are all straight. The only time you really notice is when something is broken and no longer looks normal. In the woods, it is the complete opposite. Normal is the chaos of the nature. Normal is also the calm beauty of nature. The only straight lines are typically the trail that's underfoot. How is it that there seems to be so much more stimuli in nature than in the manufactured metal and crowds of the city? More. One of my favorite lines from a movie comes from the 1995 film, I forgot the name of the film. Anyways, Harrison Ford, playing a super rich fella, is explaining to Julia Ormond that he wants pictures of every angle of a house she is helping him sell. Ormond simply responds, "More isn't always better. Sometimes it is just more." That is how I feel about the city. The city has more people, more cars, more shops, traffic, sounds, lights, more, crowds, restaurants, stadiums, more energy. That's what it's really about. There is more of everything in a city, and that brings more energy. I wasn't sure the energy of the city could ever be matched. One day I was sitting next to a stream close to an aspen grove. A light breeze blew, and every leaf in the grove began to quake. The noise was much like the building of a chair in a stadium during a home run. A single leaf fell into the stream I was sitting next to. The leaf fell into what I thought was a calm moving stream, until that singular leaf caught the current. It was like a speedboat floating away in a mix of calm and chaos. At that moment, I realized the difference between the energy of a city and the energy of a trail. The city needs to manufacture all the energy. If you don't believe me, walk around at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. Nature, on the other hand, takes the small breeze, the smallest bit of energy, and turns it into a dancing symphony of leaves quaking in their limbs. A small leaf takes a journey from tree branch to possibly miles away where the stream may have released it from its slide, all because of one breath of wind. More wasn't better. The wind still blows in the city, but it's seen more as a nuisance. The wind on the trail can be the trigger that brings it all to life. It had the power to mesmerize me for that simple moment. I don't need these people, those people. The crowds were no factor in what I was seeing. The world was simple, with nobody in it but me in that moment. Silence is golden. People find joy in different things. I know people that can't go an hour without talking to someone. On the contrary, I know people who would prefer to avoid everyone in existence if possible. I always thought I was the former. Being a social person is somewhat natural to me. Now that I have spent time in the woods alone, I have learned a lot about myself. There is no better feeling than making it to the top of a hike and knowing that I accomplished it on my own. No more humbling feeling than standing next to a frozen lake at 12,000 feet and knowing that only a few people have seen what I have seen. I don't hike alone, but I hike with myself. I push myself to get further than even I thought I could get. My mind is both humbled and proud with each step that I take. That's why I am alone, but never lonely. So there it is, Hiking Alone, But Never Lonely. A blog that I wrote, judging by this, it seems like I wrote it back when the pandemic was still kind of going on. And the only thing that we could do from a getting out of the house standpoint was to go out to the trails and get some either alone time or get some time with friends, on a trail. If you want to see more of those blogs, check out Fat Man Little Trail. There's a thoughts section, and underneath thoughts, drop-down menu, is a section called Fat Man's Ramblings. And those are the blogs where I just kind of talk about how I've been feeling out on the trail. And I'm pretty honest about a lot of them. I've read a couple here on the podcast as well. I'm pretty honest about how I feel. I'm not going to sugarcoat it too much. Just kind of how it feels to be a hiker and things like that. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Check out, Fat Man Little Trail for more stuff like that. I want to get into my hike of the week this week as well. The hike of the week this week is Spruce Mountain, just a little bit south of Denver, in the Castle Rock area. Spruce Mountain is a good hike for people who are starting out and kind of want to get a little bit of elevation and want to have that feeling of hitting a peak. And also it's not that hard. It's challenging, but it's not difficult, if that makes sense. Spruce Mountain has wide trails. It's really popular. People bring their dogs there. People run. A lot of people were jogging the trail. It's about a 5.7-mile loop. If you go from the parking lot up to the top and then loop around back to the bottom of the hill. And the views are spectacular. It's kind of in this flat grassland farm ranch area of the Castle Rock area, but it's a butte that comes up. So it's only 625 feet of elevation gain, but it kind of sticks up because everything's so flat around it that you get these amazing views, pretty much of all of the surrounding farms and ranches, and then all the way out to where the kind of like the foothills begin. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's a beautiful, beautiful view. One of the exciting things for me on this hike, I've done it twice. The first time I did it, it was a kind of late winter, early spring day, and there was no weather predicted at all, and I hiked up to the top of it, and as soon as I got to the top of it, there was this random storm that hit me right at the top of the mountain, and it was just foggy and snowing and cold and windy, and it was miserable, like to the point of when I got to the top of the mountain, I couldn't see more than like a foot past the edge of the rock. And then this last time I went, I got to actually see the views that I missed because of all that snow and fog. During the winter day, as soon as I came off the mountain and I drove about a half a mile down the road, the storm was completely gone because it was literally just sitting over me and that mountain. But this time, my cousin got a dog recently, about a year and a half ago, and it was the first time taking the puppy on a pretty decent-sized hike, 5.5 miles and 600 feet of elevation gain, and that dog was a happy dog. She loved the hike and running up the hill, and we've got some pictures of her just smiling away and enjoying everything, and she did a really good job. So it was exciting for me, but Spruce Mountain is great if you're just trying to get started in hiking and you want to kind of really push yourself for an early level person. It's probably easier for somebody who's been hiking a long time, but it gives you a chance to kind of go to a peak and get that feel of success of making it up to the top of a peak and just kind of sitting there and enjoying the views from the top of the peak. And then something you can, a little feather you can put in your cap as finishing a mountain. So that is my hike of the week, Spruce Mountain, just outside of Castle Rock, Colorado. If you have a chance, 5.7 miles of loop and about 625 feet of elevation gain from trailhead to the top. So it's something that I think that you will enjoy. And if you're in the Colorado area, check it out. That is all the time that I have this week for the podcast. We're working on a couple more interviews coming up for the next few weeks, which I'm excited about. But until then, we will let you go until next week. So I hope to see you on a trail real soon. Until then, happy hiking.